Okay. Oh, yeah, okay, we can do this live.
You're listening to The Dollop! This is a bi-weekly American history podcast. Each week, I, drinker of Perrier, lover of pillows,
Jesus,
muscled man, Dave Anthony,
Dave,
reads a story from American history to his friend,
Gareth Reynolds, who has no idea what the topic is going to be about. How'd I do? How'd we do?
You weren't good. I was great.
All right. Well, we're doing a little Instagram video now, so this is a weird intro. But
look, there's Jose. Loves the fan.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Hey, pause off the last one.
What are you doing?
Jose?
Who would do that to a fan? That's a dumb cat.
It's not fair.
God, you want a little hit of dude?
I'll do one buck.
People say this is funny?
Not Gary Gera.
Dave, okay.
Someone or something is tickling people.
Is it for fun?
And this is not going to become the tickling podcast.
Okay.
You are Queen Fakey of Made Up Town.
All hail Queen Shit of Liesville.
A bunch of religious virgins go to mingle.
And do what?
Pray.
Hi, Gary.
No.
Nicely done, my friend.
No.
Oh my God, look at this picture of Fosdick.
He's the best. He's the fucking greatest.
What's so he with great. A pelican? Fosdick and a pelican. All right. By the way, our shirts and other things you can buy with our art that is done by James Fosdick can only be found on Redbubble. There's another asshole who puts up art on different sites. Do not ever buy from that douchebag. Who puts up James art? The guy fucking grabs James art and throws it up in different places.
I didn't know.
Only
that.
Redbubble, only James Fosdyke's account, or else you're stealing from James Fosdyke and us, even though you don't know it.
And but you know
still,
what we do to
you're
thieves,
still
don't you?
Criminally liable. We cut
you
off
know
their
what
hands.
We do to thieves,
cut
right?
Cut off their hands.
Their hands are goners.
Gone. Gonzo. We're brought to you in part by Policy Genius. Look, if someone relies on you for financial support, whether it's a child or an aging parent or even a business partner, you need life insurance. Life insurance, it gives you peace of mind. So if something happens to you, your loved ones, they're going to have a financial cushion to pay for things like rent, mortgage, loans, education, just everything, daily expenses. And usually life insurance gets more expensive as you age. So start a policy soon rather than, you know, waiting on it. So look, head over to policygenius.com and answer a few questions about yourself. And in just a few minutes, you can work out how much life insurance coverage you need. And then you compare personalized quotes to find your best price. You could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. And they work for you. So Policy Genius works for you, not the insurance companies. So you can trust them to offer unbiased help and advocate for you at every step until you're covered. They don't add on extra fees. They don't sell your info to third parties. So head to policygenius.com to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. We are brought to you in part by Zen Business. Look, a lot of people right now, the great resignation is on. They're like, they're out of their jobs. They're like, I don't want to do this anymore. I want more control over my life. I want a better life. I don't want a boss man telling me what to do. And so a lot of people are starting their own business. Zen Business is very, very helpful. They got an all-in-one platform. It guides you as a new entrepreneur through all the stuff you have to go through to get it going, an LLC or whatever you're going to set up. Got a super easy pricing structure. Starts as low as $49. And then look, they're not going to hit you with a bunch of hidden fees. It's all very straightforward. What they say is what it is. They have a very fast and simple business formation for LLC and other business structures. Worry-free compliance and annual filings. So you can stay in good standing with the state. You can secure an employee ID number so you can open a bank account, hire employees, protect your personal, all that stuff. I wish I had had Zen Business when I started my business. It would have freed up all that time I spent on paperwork and all that stuff so I could have just focused on the business. So look, Zen Business has helped hundreds of thousands of people get their business off the ground by guiding them every step of the way and making it easier to launch a successful business. Get started today for as low as $49 at zenbusiness.com/dollop. That's zenbusiness.com/dollop. February 5th, 1725.
Ooh. Fun time.
James Otis was born in West... Oh, I'm going to say it wrong.
Great. Barnes great attitude.
Yeah, well, you're from Massachusetts.
I'm
You've
not
spent
from
time
Massachusetts.
There.
I've spent time there. Yeah, I went to college there.
Barnstable?
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 It's spelled like Barnstable. So
let's go with Barnstable.
I'm sure that's not how
Barnstable.
It's pronounced. Yeah, Barnstable.
Good, it's Barnstable.
That sounds about right. He was the second of 13 children, though the first one died as an infant, and a lot of them died. Let's be honest. It's the 1700s.
Yeah.
His father was a well-known attorney and militia officer.
Okay.
Politician also. Sure. When he was just 14, Otis enrolled in Harvard.
And when he was 14?
Yeah, but I think that's pretty normal back then.
So, I mean, you're gonna die at 40.
Right. So,
I mean,
14, that's when
college
you
college at 14. We're all Doogie Howser back then.
We're all Doogie Howser back then.
And I'm the only person making Doogie Howser comparisons in history. Okay?
Dan Carlin does it all the time.
I've always respected him.
He graduated from Harvard in 1743.
So how old is he then?
He would be 18.
Okay, sure.
And then practiced law briefly in Plymouth. And in 1750, he moved to Boston, where he quickly became a very well-respected lawyer.
Okay.
So he's killing it.
I hate to keep going back to the Doogie well, but it's not dry. He's the Doogie Howser of law.
He developed a reputation as an eloquent defense lawyer and successfully defended accused pirates in Nova Scotia.
Okay.
Yeah. And young men in Plymouth accused of rioting on Guy Fawkes Day.
Rioting on Guy Fawkes.
Did I say rioting?
No, but it's, it's one of those words.
Rioting.
Rioting.
Yeah.
And you're spelling that W-R-I-T-I-N-G?
He was the type of lawyer who would defend petty crimes of poor whites and indentured servants, as well as property disputes of the rich.
Okay.
So he's not just working for the rich. He's like, I'll help all people.
Okay.
A biographer wrote of him, he had an orator's fire and passion. Also, the orator's eccentricities.
Orators are known to be eccentric? That's a...
I think in this time, maybe.
Sure.
Maybe like you like a stand-up comedian or something.
Right. Yeah, you kind of... Sure. You got... Yeah.
Well, that's what's implied.
You got that green room attitude.
In 1755, James married Ruth Cunningham.
Okay.
Of Happy Cunningham's. Days.
Oh, yeah, right.
She was a merchant's daughter and an heiress to a fortune worth over £10,000, which I assume is a lot of money back then.
Sure, yeah.
Doesn't sound like shit right now.
No.
Particularly after Brexit.
Right.
The couple's politics were very different, though they were very in love with each other. They had three children, James, Elizabeth, and Mary.
Okay.
In 1756, James was appointed as an advocate general in the Vice Admiralty Court. One of his duties was to prosecute smugglers.
Okay.
So now he's working for the man.
Okay, so he's flipped.
Well, yeah.
Have we lost him?
Well.
Okay.
Many New England merchants had resorted to illegal activities in order to avoid the burdensome acts of trade that controlled commerce throughout the British Empire.
Okay.
So there's fucked up trade rules
right. That
the Brits are throwing down on peeps.
Sure. Is this...
That's not written.
Okay. It doesn't feel written.
The Crown then tried to crack
down... Or rioted.
Or rioted.
Mm-hmm.
The Crown then tried to crack down on the smugglers with a new legal instrument, the Writs of Assistance.
The Writs of Assistance.
Yeah, it sounds good, right?
I don't know. It doesn't. It sounds vague, which I think is bad.
The writs were general search warrants that let customs officials just enter businesses and homes without reason.
So it's bad.
To look for vaguely defined contraband.
Oh, my God.
So
illegal search and seizure.
Yeah, so the British, in response to people being upset about how they were treating them, were like, all right, how about if we just get to walk into your house?
That feels like a gross overreaction.
No, it'll be good. Trust me.
Hey, looks like we got some contraband over here.
That's my dog.
Yeah.
So a lot of colonists.
I'm into dogs.
A lot of colonists were not down with the writs. Not down with just people walking into your house.
Right.
Then Otis's father, putting on the writs.
Right.
Then Otis's father was beaten out of the chief justice job by.
It says a lot about the time that when you say beaten, the first thing I picture are clubs demolishing.
I'm surprised that that's not what happened.
Yeah.
I'm surprised people didn't beat each other to death to become the chief.
Well, you're fired.
Chief Justice. So he's beaten out of the chief justice job by Thomas Hutchinson, who was lieutenant governor at the time.
Okay.
Otis went to Hutchinson.
Oh, boy.
And swore to him that he would get revenge.
Oh, God.
And that he would, quote, set the province in flames.
Oh, God.
So
he's pissed.
Yeah, he's not fucking around.
He's pissed.
He doesn't like what happened to Daddy.
Well, this guy's pissed.
Yeah, he's angry.
I mean, this guy's not pissed.
This is not a not pissed man.
And this is also, again, I mean, these are eras where it sounds like when you make threats, nobody was kidding.
No, no,
like,
everyone
now
was
like it's so easy, like, to get into an argument from your car.
I'll burn the province down.
Or, you know,
like, all
on
right.
Facebook. But, like, if you're in person being like, I'm going to burn down the goddamn province, you're like,
oh, he's really going to burn down the province.
Normally, people cash in.
He also decided to represent pro bono the merchants who were challenging whether or not the writs of assistance were legal. So he bails on his job.
Uh-huh.
And now he's immediately switches sides.
Okay,
now
he's
back in the peoples.
I like it.
At the trial in 1761, Otis gave one hell of a speech for 5 hours.
Oh, God.
John Adams wrote, quote,
Jesus, God, stop.
Enough. We get it.
Oh, after hour three, he was just doing the same material a second time, it felt like.
How about taking it down a notch?
All crowd work.
John Adams wrote, quote, then and there, the child independence was born.
The child independence?
I don't think he was being literal. I think he was...
yeah.
It wasn't such a long speech that children were being born.
Right.
I mean, it probably was, but not in the courtroom.
Right.
What he's saying is independence was birthed. This is the beginning of American independence.
Okay.
This speech.
Okay.
Bostonians were so impressed with his speech that they elected him to the Massachusetts House of Representatives right after.
Okay.
In the House, he led Patriots' efforts to challenge a bunch of British laws and taxes, which got him more fame with each outspoken defense of the colonists' freedoms.
Okay.
So he's fucking...
So he's going for it.
I mean, as you know, the famous Otis James.
Well, and one thing I've always loved about Odie, and I call him Odie just mm-hmm. because I have a shorthand with this
Sure, and
era.
You like Garfield.
Pardon? Oh, he hates Mondays. What's the topic?
I couldn't figure out what this was, and then I just realized what it is.
Well, there's no need to bring it up.
He gained a reputation as a fiery, brilliant, and erratic man.
Okay. Was he erratic?
No, he was erratic.
Okay.
But in that, he could have also been erratic.
Yeah.
Based on what we've heard.
Right. Okay.
Friends called him Furio.
What the hell? Can we do that more as friends? Can I call you Furio?
Yeah, it totally makes sense. His rival, Hutchinson.
Oh, shit.
Was that a shot?
No, that's a firework.
Oh, right. Dodgers. We're near 4th of July.
Dodgers and 4th of July.
Oh, that's cool.
Jose doesn't like them.
No, I don't know why the cat just ran across the room, freaked out.
Where'd he run to?
To his daddy.
Daddy's loving arms.
To his daddy.
Daddy's loving arms.
So his rival, Hutchinson, nicknamed him the Grand Incendiary.
Still playing the nickname. That's still a good nickname.
I would not have any problem with that at all.
I'd take that over Furio.
Are you fucking kidding me?
The Grand Incendiary?
Yeah, bring it.
That's better for you.
His speeches inflamed the colonists and inspired them to resist. John Adams said, quote, Otis was a flame of fire with a promptitude of classical allusions. I have no idea what that means.
Words are made up a lot in
a
history.
Depth of research.
Promptitude.
A rapid summary of historical events and dates a profusion of legal authorities.
He's definitely fudging some
Well,
terms.
He's using a lot of words, but he's saying this dude's rad.
Yeah.
Summary.
This dude's rad.
He didn't come up with the phrase taxation without representation is tyranny, but he pushed the idea big time. And as time went by, his opposition to taxation increased. In 1764, he wrote a pamphlet that expanded this argument, called The Rights to the British Colonies Asserted and Proved, in which he said England had no authority to tax the colonies unless they got a seat in Parliament.
Wow.
Totally reasonable.
Yeah, yeah.
And now looking back, shouldn't you have given a seat in Parliament?
Yeah. Oh, God. Imagine how much they would have regretted that move now.
Such a, yeah.
Who we'd just have some slob. Sorry, I was on the iPad. What were we talking about? Would the gentleman from the United States of America please yield the floor?
Pull my finger.
Oh, my Lord. How can he still have more after all the other finger pulls?
The pamphlet was actually argued about in pamphlet? Parliament.
Oh my God.
Itself. Like, they got a hold of it and they discussed it, where Lord Mansfield said, quote, "It is said the man is mad. This book is full of wildness."
Okay.
That's like, that's,
he's
like,
not, he's not a great orator.
That's, well, that's like dropping a bomb. I mean, but as far as the man is mad comment, there was something to it. Otis did have a reputation.
He was a bit mad.
In his diary, John Adams compared Otis to British Admiral Montagu.
Oh, well, I never. The nerve of Adams.
Do you still have your painting of Montagu in your...
I sold it, but only because I'm going to get a Montagu room.
Jose is going after a bug. Nope. Now Gareth is going after a bug. You guys need to work together better. Montagu was known to be very vulgar.
Okay.
Quote, "My wife's dead arse is so broad that she and I can't sit in a chariot together. This is the nature of the beast and the common language of the man. Admiral Montague's conversation, by all I can learn of it, is exactly like Otis's when he is both mad and drunk."
Wait, what did the guy say? What did Montague say?
Montague said, "My wife's dead arse is so broad that she and I can't sit in a chariot together."
So this is like history's Larry the Cable Guy. I mean, he's working at a different...
He's doing a "my wife is so fat" joke.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you might just be a colonist. If you refer to your pockets as tea bag holders, you just might be a colonist.
Well, come on.
If you refer to your trip over from England as my bout with scurvy, you might just be a colonist.
Yeah.
If you've had 13 children, 9 are dead, and 1 went to Harvard at 9, well, guess what, my friend? You just might be a colonist yourself.
You're doing pretty good for a guy who doesn't know shit about history.
but my bench is tapped. No more players riding the pine now. I've put everyone in.
In March 1765, Parliament imposed the Stamp Act, which was basically a huge tax. Otis led the Massachusetts legislature's opposition to the law. The Townshend Act levied new taxes on the colonists 2 years later and revived the writs of assistance.
Jesus.
That's when Otis and Samuel Adams, like the people in America and the colonies, are like, "Hey, how about some representation?" And English response is, "What about more taxes?"
Right.
So I don't know why it didn't work out.
No.
That's when Otis and Samuel Adams co-wrote the Massachusetts Protest Letter.
Oh, so they're coming together now.
Yeah, and it's the same thing. No authority to tax the colonies, etc. This time, King George III read it and was livid.
It's great.
He declared the letter seditious and demanded that the House rescind it. Otis fired back, quote, "Let Britain rescind her measures or the colonies are lost forever."
Oof.
Yeah, he's fucking,
I mean, that's not going to make him happy.
Yeah, he's fucking dropping
and
bombs.
And then again, it's so great that it's like the time in between contact.
I know.
You have 7 days of stewing.
No, it's coming
like,
across on a fucking boat.
If you don't get a text back in 3 hours, you're like, well, you're dead. Someone's
it's
dead.
It's got to be...
weeks.
I don't know about weeks, but I don't know how long. We should figure out how long it took to cross the Atlantic back then, but I would think 14 days minimum.
Yeah. Yeah, that's weeks.
Yeah.
You're definitely, I mean, whatever it is. It's, even if it was 10 days.
It's probably.
You're stewing.
Mm-hmm.
Middle of the night, just sitting there. Oh, we better not, if he writes something snarky.
Now.
It will be if I receive another seditious pamphlet.
Now it's instantaneous on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's noticed.
So the House rejected the king's demand by letter. And then the governor of Massachusetts was pissed, and he dissolved the legislature.
He dissolved the legislature?
Yeah, so the
entirely?
Governor is a British guy.
Right.
So he
right.
dissolves the Massachusetts legislature.
Bold swings.
Now, all this defiance hurt Otis's marriage. Ruth was a loyalist and a Tory.
And a Tory?
A Tory.
What's a Tory?
Do you know anything about the elections over there right now?
Where, in England?
Yeah. May is a Tory.
Oh, May is a Tory.
Yeah.
Okay. So I know how I feel about the Tories.
She was very against her husband's politics. John Adams wrote in his diary...
I'm Tory, but I just don't agree with you.
John Adams wrote in his diary, quote, he mentioned his wife, said she was a good wife, too good for him, but she was a Tory.
Oh.
She gave him lectures.
Ugh.
So she just sounds awful.
Oh, poor guy.
In joining the legislature and taking political positions, it cost Otis...
He sounds like he's trying to make it work, though.
Yeah, he's... yeah.
But that's the thing. You know, look, if you marry a Tory and you're not a Tory, you know the deal.
You know the deal. You're
going to have
a lot of
Tory arguments.
You're going to be a lot of fucking speeches.
Yeah, she was a Tory when he married her.
Always a Tory. Once a Tory, always a Tory.
Always said that. Always said that.
In joining the legislature and taking political positions, it cost Otis much of his law practice. And Adams realized it would cost Otis more. Of Otis's schedule of speaking out against Britain at town meetings, so he's going around all over the place speaking out at town meetings. Adams said, quote, that way madness lies.
Okay.
Like, I think he's just putting himself out there too far.
Right.
Otis's open advocacy of American rights upset many officials. His election to the speakership of the General Court in 1766 was voided by the governor.
Jeez.
At the same time, Otis saw dark times approaching. He told the legislature, quote, the times are dark and trying. We may soon be called on in turn to act or to suffer.
Okay.
Soon after, four British customs commissioners in Boston complained to London about Otis. Furious, Otis went after them in a local paper, calling them, quote, superlative blockheads.
Nice.
And he threatened to break the head of Commissioner John Robinson.
Not as not as wordsmithish, not but still nice to know he's got both.
So he threatened to beat a guy down.
Yeah, that's pretty clear.
The next night he went looking for him.
Oh, God. Again, threats are real.
Otis found Robinson at the British Coffee House near the wharf and demanded a gentleman's satisfaction.
Oh, God. These, I mean, we got to start using some of these.
Right?
Again. Don't you think?
Yes.
The great incendiary?
I demand a gentleman's satisfaction.
Yes.
Robinson grabbed Otis by the nose.
What? Okay. Now, what did he ask for? A gentleman's what?
Satisfaction.
A gentleman's satisfaction.
Yeah.
And his nose gets grabbed immediately.
Doesn't seem like a gentleman's satisfaction. As far
we
as
have
what
our
I know.
Mo.
What I know about gentleman's satisfaction.
Right.
The two men fought. Exchanging blows and using their canes.
Oh, nice. All right. So this is a real penguin fight.
It's not a fuck around. So it's a loyalist coffee house, and many of the loyalists in there pushed Otis and shouted for his death while British officers stood by and watched. In the end, Otis was left bleeding on the floor. Months later, he still had a deep scar. John Adams said, quote, you could lay a finger in it.
Oh, why did he say that?
You got to gauge the depth of the scar.
Not as much.
Just put your finger right in there. Otis, let me see here. Oh, good
I
Lord.
I say, my index fits right in there like a glove.
That's quite a scar.
Yeah, and I actually don't think it was that size until you started measuring it with your finger.
Everybody's poking it and making it deeper.
Look at this.
Hey, Bobby, come here.
Look, I've got brain.
Holy moly, call Larry over.
Oh, I bet Larry could get his you-know-what inside there.
My weenie.
That's right, Lair.
Hello, I'm Bad Larry.
Let him out the cage.
So, Otis sued Robinson and won £2,000 in damages.
Okay.
That's a shitload of money back then.
Well, yeah, but he got beaten down. But also, why go there?
Why go to the place?
Yeah, why make it an away game?
Otis doesn't always think.
That's not going to get any better with a finger-sized hole in his head.
Otis passed on the $2,000 award in return.
I want what's in the box. I want what's in the box. I want what's in the box. Give me the box.
Well, he got a published apology from Robinson.
Instead of the $2,000.
Yeah.
Wow.
I would have taken the $2,000.
Absolutely.
The trauma unhinged the already teetering Otis. He started drinking a lot and saying he regretted opposing the British.
Oh.
He just wandered the streets of Boston drunk. Adams wrote, quote, he rambles like a ship without a helm. I fear, I tremble, I mourn for the man and for his country. That was in the summer. By February, Adams wrote Otis was, quote, raving mad, raving against father, wife, brother, sister, friend.
Oh, boy.
So he really got the shit beat out of him.
Things aren't going well.
Hutchinson wrote in his diary that Otis's madness seemed to come and go. After Otis stopped an anti-British vote in the legislature, he wrote, quote, Otis appeared and spoke so well against it that he prevented its passing, otherwise it would have.
Wow.
He dressed himself very decently on that occasion, but soon returned to his sordid dress and demeanor out on the streets.
Okay. So he's...
So it sounds like he has...
Not looking the
role. It sounds like he has like a bipolar situation, because he... It sounds like he goes into these manic phases and then he...
Comes out of them.
And it sounds like... I don't know if this is how this works, but whatever the injury he sustained, which was clearly a brain injury, exacerbated whatever condition he had.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think it would cause it, but yeah, it could definitely.
No, he was clearly a little on the crazy side before. Right. He had some sort of mental condition.
Right. A real Montague.
Still, he was reelected to the House in 1771.
God damn, man. We just, like, you know, honestly, we are a country of option A. We close the deal. We're like, we just take it.
He's all right. Yeah. Didn't he just walk by pissing and screaming?
Yeah, but I recognize his name.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
Otis.
Him.
That's the one.
Yeah, the one with the sausage-sized hole in his head.
But he
the
was...
one Larry's been having sex with in his head. That one.
But he was too much of a mental mess to play much of a role. John and Samuel Adams and other friends still supported and socialized with him, but they weren't surprised when he went nuts. In December, Otis was carried away with his hands and feet bound. He went to live with different friends in the countryside, alternating between lucid moments and relapses.
Oh, boy.
The revolution was not great for his family, who were divided. His wife, Rose, refused to sleep with him as long as he opposed British rule.
God damn. I mean, they...
So as soon as he went over to start talking shit about the British, he didn't give fuck no more.
But also... Wait, when he made the move to stop talking shit about the British?
No, when he made the move to break with the crown and
right.
And he didn't have sex anymore.
Yeah.
That was the end of sex.
No, he's real. I mean, he likes complicated situations.
Yeah. His son, James Otis III, enlisted in the American Navy and died in a British prison at 18. His daughter, Elizabeth, was a loyalist, and she married a British captain and moved to England.
Oh, boy.
Otis disowned her.
Oh, God.
His younger brother, Samuel Otis, was the first secretary
also,
of the U.S. Senate.
It feels like she disowned him, and then he just wanted to label it.
Yep, yeah.
She married a British guy and moved to England. That's kind of being like, yeah, I'm out of here. And he's like, well, if you're leaving, you're disowned.
Otis's friends took on leadership roles in the revolution that Otis might have assumed. And his sister, Mercy... I thought it was his daughter. Okay. His sister, Mercy, organized political meetings and published anti-British political satires that also attacked Hutchinson. She was one of the first women in America to write for the Public and a great voice for the revolution.
That's good.
Hell of a fucking family.
Yeah, seriously.
Mercy often wrote about her loved ones in poems, but she never wrote about her mother. So there was something up with the mom. In this family. When visiting Mercy, Otis talked about how he hoped to die, quote, my dear sister, I hope when God...
I really thought there was going to be more to that. I hope to die gloriously. No. I hope to die.
Wait till you hear how he hopes to die. My dear sister, I hope to die when God Almighty, in his righteous providence, shall take me out of time into eternity, that I will be taken by a flash of lightning.
Oh, shit.
So he just asked... He just basically asked God to kill him by lightning. I mean, that's where he's at. He's
can
like,
can you imagine that?
Like, I want to be taken
like
out.
Expecting what's coming out, you know? You know, I just want to make sure that when I go, you know how I want to go.
How? Tell me.
I want to be killed by lightning.
Okay, that's
No, wait, listen.
It's really hard.
No, we're supposed to get...
It's really
we're
hard.
We're supposed to rain later.
No, it's still hard.
Please, look, listen to me. Okay. Listen to me. I'm dying.
Okay.
And I want the last thing I feel to be lightning.
Okay, that's not...
And it's got to be a big bolt, too, because I don't want to live after it.
Okay.
So I want to be killed by a big one.
It's not a thing. It's not going to happen.
Make it happen.
It's not going to happen.
Come on. Not with that altitude.
Fucking lightning.
Well, get it in a bottle. I've heard of that. That's okay. Just become a thing people are saying.
Remember, everyone said you're crazy? You're fucking crazy. You're crazy.
All right. Well, then, all right. New one.
No.
I want to die inside the belly of a whale. Okay. But I want to be eaten and live in there.
God, I'm going to go.
Lightning's the other option.
Okay.
I think lightning would be easier for you.
Bye.
Good guy.
In early 1783, Otis came back to Boston, and his friend John Hancock, who was then the Massachusetts governor, threw a public dinner to mark his return. But the speeches and toasts threw off Otis's mental balance, and his family had to take him back to the countryside.
Oh, shit.
When he got there, Otis burned most of his personal papers.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's fucking done. On May 23rd, 1783, he was at the house of Mr. Isaac Osgood, leaning on his cane at the front door, watching a thunderstorm when he was struck by lightning.
Shut your mouth! Shut your mouth! Shut up! What? Shut up!
He was instantly killed.
Oh my God! Oh my God, yes! What? Holy shit.
The Boston Gazette.
Dave.
He was instantly killed. Several persons were in the house at the time, some of whom were violently affected by the shock, but immediately recovered, ran to Mr. Otis's support, but he had already expired without a groan.
What? Okay, look. Oh, my God. How is that the ending?
That's the
I want to talk for an hour
that's
now.
That's the ending.
Okay, so it is the ending?
Well, okay, Ruth never changed her mind about being a loyalist. John Adams wrote that the Revolution cost Otis more than almost any man in the Patriot cause. 3 months after his death, the country fully earned its independence.
Okay, great ending. I still can't get past what just happened. He Babe Ruth to lightning
he fucking
ball.
Babe Ruth lightning.
Shot.
He Babe Ruth lightning. Yeah.
Okay, now... And either way, this is amazing.
Yeah.
But was it totally random, or he was out there because there's a storm and he's thinking
no,
maybe?
From I mean, possibly.
But even then,
but
the
everything,
odds are so astronomical.
But it sounded like he was just standing in the door. He might have been standing in the doorway going, man, I wish I would get hit by this lightning. And then it did hit him.
To have it happen in a doorway.
I mean, he is holding his cane,
still,
so it's probably metal.
Right, fair. But even then... He's not going to the field with his
no,
cane.
No, he's just in a doorway.
He's in the doorway.
I mean, the lightning
like
hit...
Like, he's lazy about
the
this.
Lightning hit the house and set it on fire. Like, it fucked up the house.
But then that's crazy.
But no one else died.
That's even if he attracted it, I mean, that is...
His last words were, come to me, baby.
What? Wow. I mean... yeah, I mean, honestly, if that's how, if you're like the kid and you see him and people are running to his side, you're pretty much Keanu Reeves at the end of Point Break.
Right?
Yeah, Patrick Swayze's off on the wave and people are like, we'll arrest him when he gets back. And you're like, he's not coming back. It's like, let's go see if Dad's all right. Trust me, Dad got what he wanted. Leave him be.
So he's just a cooked Otis.
Well, there
but,
we go.
But it's crazy, so... This was the guy who basically, through his speeches, kicked off the revolution. You've never heard of him. No one's ever fucking heard of him.
No.
And then he was also clearly had a mental issue. And then that makes you wonder if the people that, I mean, are the people who really step out to make change, who really do the thing, that make the bold fucking move, did some of them have a little bit something off? Maybe that's something that it takes, you know?
I mean... You know, I think, yeah, I think a lot of times, you know, leaders or people who do cause change are people who are are flawed in ways that, you know.
Yeah.
But even still, you know, if you have a mental disease, like the idea of, you know, doing something like that and being such a big part of change, I mean, it's just, it's almost more impressive.
Yeah.
Because the idea that you have to kind of reset, and if he was bipolar, I mean, that's just, you know, that's a hard thing to maintain.
Fuck yeah.
But also, I'm going to remember this guy as the guy who Babe Ruthed light.
if that's okay with everyone.
We sign lightning.
Thank you.